is our year. You can never, it's really illegal to claim a year of favor without a year of repositioning. It's illegal. I mean, you gotta, the Holy Spirit's gotta be able to move some things. And so tonight we're gonna finish up on last week. If you was in the house last week, how many was blessed on the favor of the Lord, right? And we are not just declaring things randomly, and we're not just going through motions, and we're not just saying things just because they sound good to the natural ear. We're declaring spiritual things, and tonight I'm on a spiritual assignment. And I want to start by telling you to get your hope in the right place tonight. Hope is not just believing things will change. Hope actually creates change. Let me say it again. Hope has the ability to create change. It shapes realities. Are you hearing me? As soon as you hope in a thing, the chances of it happening become much greater. Hope is a powerful offensive tool that we have in the kingdom to begin to make the reality that we're facing look like the dream of God for our life. And so I want you to get your hope up tonight. Amen. We're going to finish up this passage on the purpose of favor. It was so much said last week. I want to challenge you. It is very important that you become a student of the Word. And if you are here and you call me pastor and you're sitting in this ministry, it is really important that, and listen, I'm all for everybody getting on YouTube and watching Bishop Jakes and whoever else you're following, but never let that take place of the precedence of the pastor God assigned you to. Because you want to make sure that you're getting a steady diet of the house you're called to. Amen? Because you're here for a reason. That means God has something in this house that he is wanting you to get a hold of. And so be a student of the place that God has put you and assigned you. Because these are going to be principles that will unlock the destiny that God has put in your life. There are so many people that love God, that have come to know Jesus as their personal Savior, that are not tapping into the resources of the kingdom. And then there are people that do not know God at all, that are living a blessed life simply because they are following the laws of the kingdom. I'll say it again. Knowing Jesus isn't enough. Having a relationship and worshiping Jesus is not enough for you to live a blessed life. There are some people, they're so deep and they're so broke. Well, the kingdom ain't about money. Well, then quit calling me. Quit calling people and asking them to bail you out or help. And I'm saying that. Why? Because there's principles you need to learn to get you in a blessed position. It's not about wealth so you can brag. It's wealth so God can use you. And we are I'm submitting this ministry to the discipline of the Lord. We are getting ready to see people blessed in this house. You are going to see the favor of the Lord overtake you. Because we're readjusting our insides. The things that God wants to change, we're putting him before the Lord today. Amen? Everybody say, favor is in my future. See, that didn't even sound like you believed it. Come on, let's say, try one more time. Favor is in my future. You're declaring a thing. You're putting a thing out in the atmosphere. It's not just empty words, man. You have the power of life and death, y'all. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So when I say favors in my future, I'm releasing life and death at the same time. Some things need to die, some things need to live. Amen. So let's get in this. All right. Luke 1, we talked about last week. Are y'all ready? All right. We ready? I'm excited about this. Luke 1, we talked about last week. We talked about, y'all remember when I brought up Mary and we brought up Zechariah and we talked about Zechariah said what? The angel came, and what did the angel say? The angel said, listen. He said, you're going to have a child, and blah, 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 blah. And Zechariah said, how is this going to be? And the angel said, all right, here's what you get for asking a question. You ain't going to have any ability to talk until this happens. I'm going to silence your words until this happens. Sometimes God will bless you with a season to shut up, just so you'll get out of your own way. You know what God could do with you if you give him access to your mouth? Woo! Come on now. If you would surrender your talking and the things that you say to God and learn to have a holy zip it, you would be amazed at what God could position you to do. God can do more with your silence than he can your talking. God takes talking serious. That's why he called himself the Word. God chose to create everything through talking. He takes it very serious. Jesus said, there's more I want to tell you, but you can't bear them. That tells me that everything God said was intentional. He did not just randomly speak. Which is why he's silent to some of us in some seasons. Why? Because he does not waste words. He does not speak in sentences. He speaks in reality and truths. If you knew that everything you said created, you would be more responsible with what you said. But some of us feel like we have no power in our tongue. And the truth is, man, you are shaping your reality. If we reap what we sow, we must be living in what we've sown yesterday. Our reality today is the byproduct of what we was sowing in our yesterday. So if we want to change our tomorrow, we have to start sowing right for today. All right? These are spiritual things that we're talking about tonight. When I'm talking about favor, it's so easy for the enemy to come in and say, oh, that stuff ain't spiritual stuff. And I'm telling you, it's absolutely spiritual stuff. It is absolutely 100% spiritual stuff. And we have to remember that supernatural is the same thing. You have the super side of God in the sense of the spirituality side, but then you have the natural side coming together, and it's creating what we call the supernatural life. You have to have both of them a balance in order to really be operating in what we call supernatural. So here we go. I want to get into this. So we got into all of that last week. Mary was asked the same question, and favor allowed her to ask questions. You all remember that last week. I want to skip down here, and we're going to go to the part where I brought up Proverbs 19, verse 15. And we're going to read there. Just swing over to Proverbs for me, Eric, when you can. Who's back there? Is that Eric? 13 through 15. That's why I brought my glasses. I thought I'd never be at this place, but I'm here. Lord Jesus, I just don't want my eyes to look big when you're looking at me. Welcome. I told the lady, I said, now my eyes ain't going to look, because my dad, when he put them on, his eyes went like this. I said, Lord. When she would say, well, just pick out a pair. I said, where's the cool section? She says, what do you mean by that? I mean the ones that look like you don't need glasses, but you need them. And so I'm hoping that God doesn't work here in my eyeballs because I don't like these glasses. All right, we ready? Everybody say this: favor is merited when it comes to purpose. Now, what does merited mean? Merited means it's earned. When we say grace is what? Unmerited, we're saying what? So if I was to tell you, if I was to talk to you about salvation, that you are saved by grace, you would say that it is unmerited, correct? Meaning that you cannot do enough to be saved. You can't live a holy enough life to be saved. You can't follow all the rules to be saved. You can't do any of that stuff. It's grace and faith coming together. Grace is God's side of the deal. Faith is our side of the deal. We are saved by grace through faith. That is very clear in the New Testament. So that is unmerited. But when you're dealing with your purpose, it's merited. It's not enough. Nothing will frustrate you more than just coming to Jesus but not having access to all of the tools. All of the beauty of what it means. Jesus did not call you to walk around poor, guys. Jesus did not call you to barely make it. He's Jehovah Jireh for a reason. That's not the God that supplies your needs. That's more than enough. Why do you think he gives you more than enough? So you can be a blessing to somebody else. God has always used resources. If Jesus was just this guy walking around with no money, why did he have an accountant? One of the disciples was keeping track of the money. Why? Because people was blessing them. This is important, and I'm trying to break the. Before you can ever change what's in somebody's wallet, you got to change what's in their mind. Greed. The root of greed is fear. The root of greed is fear. People that have a heart of greed, somewhere in their soul, they have experienced something that has scared them so bad that they now hoard everything. And the only thing that proves that you conquered greed is giving. This is why this is so important. This is also why there's been a major abuse in the body of Christ as it relates to giving, because we've had men with greed in their heart teaching about giving. Anytime that God wants to bring a breakthrough to the body of Christ and give us a revelation that will excel what he's doing in our life, there always comes a counterfeit. And you can never judge the truth of a thing simply by looking at what the counterfeit is doing. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You just recognize that the enemy is trying to distort a truth to keep us away from a revelation that will unlock a door in our life to really be a blessing to those that God wants us to be a blessing to. I'm going to show you some things here. Now, I need you to open up your spirit, man, because I'm not just preaching to the natural man here. Now, this is important here. Proverbs 13:15 says, good judgment wins favor. Good judgment wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful leads to their destruction. I didn't get a lot of chance to deal with this last week, but I'm going to start tonight. Remember when I talked about, so one translation will say, but the way of the transgressor leads to their destruction. The word transgression in its original meaning simply means to step over a law or to try to jump over a principle. Something that is necessary for us to come into alignment with, we're trying to avoid it and jump over the process. What is transgression? It is you and I trying to avoid a necessary component, a necessary thing that we are supposed to encounter. Why? Because it is meant to do some realigning in our thinking. And if you try to jump over the process, you think you're arriving to the destination faster, but the truth is the destination is always in obedience. It's the step that you take in obedience that keeps you in the destination God has got. You know, my wife put up a post the other day about the permissive will of God and the perfect will of God. If you haven't seen it, go back and look at it. I thought it was really good. But the truth is, when you're dealing with the will of God, there's only one will. It's just the will of God. You're either in it or you're not. And the will of God is already, listen, the Bible says every step of a righteous man is ordered by God. God has a purpose for your life, and there is only one way to get there. You may falter and go over here or go over there, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will bring you right back to step one. Just because you went over there doesn't mean that he's bringing you back to the middle of your problem. No. You're going right back to step one. Because he will not allow you to transgress the steps that you have to take. Why? Because that's how valuable you are. You cannot rush the process. You have to go through the process. It is so important for so many different reasons. You got to remember that what God has called you to go through is not about you. God is preparing you to show off his kingdom in the earth. Swing over to Psalms just real quick. And I want you to write this down. I don't know if I touched on this last week. Write this down, though, please. Favor belongs to disciples, not followers. Favor belongs to disciples, not followers. How do you know that you're not a disciple? I don't have to keep begging disciples to stay faithful to the things of the Lord. Those are followers. Disciples have submitted their heart in a contract, a covenant with the Father. They're not looking for a way out. They do not have to be talked in all every day to doing the things God has told them to do. They are submitted in surrender to the Holy Spirit, and they have signed up for a life that is surrendered to the plan of God. That's good teaching tonight. Now listen, we're talking about favor, so there's got to be some ouch moments. I would rather God offend my flesh teaching me of how to get favor than me live a life of disappointment avoiding principles. Disappointment hurts a whole lot longer than an offense that God's giving you while teaching you in a moment. I'd rather him give me a little jab shot. Ooh, that one hurt. Oh, but God, I'm going to take it though. Than live a whole life sustained in disappointment, never looking and never seeing the kingdom fully manifest in my life. You avoiding a little punch to the soul, man. But you're willing to walk out a life of misery for years. Ooh. Come on, somebody. So, take the hit. Why? Because it's growing you up. You know, when a boxer trains for a fight, you know what they do? They fight. They don't go through just the rhythms. They'll sit there and let somebody punch them in the stomach 100 times, getting them ready. Why? Because they know they're prepared to take shots right here when they get in the real fight. So I'm giving you freebies right now. Tighten me up. Tighten me up. I'm not guarding myself right now. I'm giving you free shots. The only way you can endure a fight is to train the right way. So watch this. We're in training right now. So look at this. Everybody say favor belongs to disciples. Woo. A lot of people follow Jesus. Not everybody. It's funny. The crowds was all over him. When he was handing out miracles, it was all over him. When he started talking about going to the cross and dying yourself, crowds, they dissipated. There's a difference between a disciple and a follower. A follower, disciples follow, but followers are not discipled. Jesus told us to go and make disciples. Look at Psalms 5. This okay tonight, y'all? I'll be honest in the sense that I'm struggling a little. I feel a little resistance in my heart. Yeah, I do. Feel a little resistance here. But it's an anticipated resistance. Because it's very hard for people to make the mental adjustments. Especially when they've been intimate with a mindset that has been conditioned to survive. It's been conditioned to survive, and you think that the way you're thinking is what's got you still standing, and I'm telling you, you're defeated. Just because you're existing does not mean you're living. And some of you are living way beneath the privilege that God has designed you to live because you're celebrating. I'm still here. No, you're really not. You're an avatar. You're here. You're existing. You're physically here, but you're not really here. All the greatness and all of the things that God has put over your life, you're not tapping into none of them. Because you're celebrating a survival mindset when God has called you to excel. You're supposed to do way more than survive. You are a world changer. What would you do if there was no more 9-to-5s and the only way you could survive is tap into a vision? What would you do if the only way you could make a living was look within, find your unique factor, and then start building? It's easy to work a 9-to-5. We get a paycheck for supporting somebody else's vision. But what would you do if God said, this next season, it's all about me developing in you the thing I put in you for your life? You guys ready for a change? Man. So look at here. I'm going to get into this now. We're going to get a little bit deeper here on favor. We talked about, go back and watch last week, man. There was some phenomenal stuff said. It was just great. David said this in Psalms 5, 11 through 12. He said, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Look at verse 12. Here we go. This is Bible, y'all. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You bless the righteous. You surround them with a favor as a shield. First principle of favor is you need to know that it is a shield, which means that it is stopping certain things from coming. Stopping certain things from coming. Now you may say, well, I get it. It's stopping the plan of the enemy. No. It's also stopping your plan. It's not just you need to recognize that them and you may be living in the same house sometimes. Come on, somebody. Because one of the things that is killing us is our plans. I love the scripture in Proverbs which says, many are the plans of man, but the purpose of God prevails. We spend a lot of years trying to figure out what's us and what's God for our life. And most of our plans are all about us getting what we think we need to survive whatever we're getting. And God's plans are all about getting to us something he can get through us to bless a generation of people that will look back to him. It's all about him, man. Every time we go through a famine, the body of Christ fails to step up the way we're supposed. We're supposed to be the spirit of Joseph. A famine is supposed to bring forth the counsel of God. Egypt, they flourished in a time of famine. Why? Because God sent a man by the name of Joseph when they was in a time of great resource. He said, don't use it the wrong way. Put it back. There's a famine coming. Save. And because they listened to the counsel of God, Egypt was in position to now have all these other countries, all these other people, all these other ethnicities coming to live in Egypt. Why? Because during the resource years, when all this good stuff was coming in, they were spending and doing all the stuff they was doing. Nobody was putting it back. But God spoke to Joseph and he said, listen, tell Pharaoh to put it back. Save it. Save the grain. Save the wheat. Put it back. Why? Because a famine's coming, and a famine will always expose who was living for them and who wasn't. A famine isn't the punishment of God. It's the season of revealing who was listening to the Spirit in the year of plenty. The year of plenty ain't so you can get a new whip. The year of plenty is so God can position you to have favor with people that do not have. And begin to give them the counsel of God. Man, that's a word. We are supposed to be the lender, not the borrower. Some people are so hard-headed, they'll never listen to the wisdom of God until they're in a season of famine and you're the only option. When God's given you favor, he's also given you their ear. Man, favor is a different thing, guys. We're not talking about money. We're talking about favor. Can I give you some principles here? Number one, I want to tell you that favor, as David said, it's a shield. I want you to put this down in your notes. Favor disappoints. If you don't know what disappointment means, just Google it. It means to undo an appointment.
That was loaded.
Pretty simple. There's an appointment which your will has set up, and then favor comes in and disappoints. You ain't going to make that meeting. Why? Because it has nothing to do with your purpose. You ain't going to connect in that relationship. Why? It has nothing to do with your purpose. You ain't going to get that job. Why? Because it's taking valuable time that's going to take away from the things I'm trying to do with you right now. I'm trying to stir up a vision on the inside. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You need to be thankful that favor undoes appointments. Amen, somebody. Some of you keeping a schedule that has nothing to do with your purpose. Busy doesn't mean effective.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Busy doesn't mean that you're productive,
yes,
that you're
sir.
Fruitful. Amen. I'll take one productive, purposeful meeting a week and do more for the kingdom than somebody that gets up at 7 and don't get home till 10 p.m. doing stuff that don't matter. Survival will keep you just as busy. It'll exhaust your schedule and your time. You ain't called to survive. You don't even need to worry about surviving. What's the number one thing you need to survive? It's breath. How often do you think about doing it? Because God didn't want you to even worry about surviving. You don't have to consciously say, breathe. You're doing it subconsciously. Because God never, what you need to survive isn't something you have to worry about intentionally. But your purpose is intentional. You getting this tonight? You with me? All right. Give me 10 more minutes here. Everybody say favor is a shield. Say favor disappoints. These are principles you need to be writing down. These are things you need to be just, man. All right. I'm going to give you some postures that create favor now. Y'all ready? Everybody say, yeah. Yeah, listen. I thought you was about to really go too, Sean. He was, yeah. All right. Number one, postures that create favor. You ready for this? Favor is first relational. When God is trying to teach you favor, God will teach you how to be relational. If you're terrible at relationships with yourself, you will be terrible at relationships with people. Yes, you have to get to know you before you get to know me. You have a triune being on the inside of you, and it's got to learn to get along. Your spirit man, your soul man, come on, all this stuff, man. Your flesh man, this discipline is the result of unity between the three.
That's good. Yes, sir.
You cannot have discipline if your spirit man is saying, do this, your soul man is saying no, and your flesh man said, I'm tired. Come on, Amos 3:3 says, listen, how can two walk together
unless they agree?
They got to be in agreement. Your spirit man sets the course, your soul man gets in agreement, and your flesh man does the work. It's called unity. You got to get to know yourself before you can get to know anybody else. This is why you can't jump out of a season of isolation. David made a great king because he was found in a season of isolation. Saul was found in the crowd. David was found out, he was found by himself. Until you learn to love God by yourself when nobody's looking, worship when nobody's looking, pray when nobody's looking, give when nobody's looking, protect when nobody's looking, you're not ready for the kingdom that God is trying to give you. preaching this thing tonight. David made a good king. I mean, I love the fact that he was anointed. 17 years, though, he was anointed before he actually sat on the throne. He wasn't tripping about it either. He didn't complain about it. When am I going to be king? He never did that. He never even asked for this. People that typically are impatient with the process are the people that are asking for something. Because they think it's the fix to how they feel about themselves. What God has given you is never the fix to how you feel about yourself. You'll there'll always be a lack of stewarding what God gives you if you're using it as a fix to how you feel about you. God has to fix how you feel about you. The only cure to that is isolation, him and you. If he can heal you without a crowd, you'll never need him. Ooh, I hope y'all know what you're getting tonight, because I'm telling you, this is different. This is why we hate isolation, man. We hate isolation typically because we hate us. We don't love us the right way. Go, take yourself out on a date this week and get to know you. Ask yourself, what do I want to eat? You've been eating what everybody else wants to eat. What do I want to eat tonight? What movie do I want to see tonight? What theater do I want to go to? What seat do I want to pick tonight? I'll get the popcorn the way I like it tonight. Get to know yourself and don't feel bad about getting to know you. You're pretty dope. God didn't create nothing that was not very good. Ooh, you better teach. I'm talking to him. Woo, everybody say favor is relational. Why is that important though? Because God will always use somebody to bless you. If you do not know how to steward relationships, your downfall, that's where your downfall will be. It is not their fault. If 50 people saying the same thing about you, doc, it's you. These people don't even know each other, and you're not that dope that everybody's trying to hurt you. Some of us think way too highly of ourselves. Like, they're all against me. No, they're not, man. They're not sitting, there's in our heads, we think everybody's against us when stuff fails. And I'm telling you, what's killing you is the lack of discipline and the lack of understanding of the principles that God is trying to activate in your life. Your haters, I said it last week and I'll say it again, your haters do not matter, but those who love you do. Your haters cannot stop you. They can hate all day long. They're your biggest fans. They're lurkers. They're going to keep up on you. They ain't going to like nothing you post. But they're going to know everything you post. Because they're going to keep up on you. Right? I'm telling the truth, ain't it? But they cannot stop what God wants to do in your life. They can have their circles and cliques and all the stuff that they do, and none of it's going to stop. But it does matter who loves you. And if you learn to steward relationships right, favor will be the byproduct. How do I steward relationships? Well, let's try this. If you tell somebody you're going to call them back.
Yep. Come on.
I got you back. I'll call you in 2 minutes. It's been 5 hours, Doc. You ain't even send me a quick text like, yo, got busy, gotta call you back. Like, call people back. Yeah. Why? Because if you always, if one or two times, there's grace for it. But if it's always you never call back, then that tells me I can't get into any business stuff with you. Yeah. Why? Because you don't value time the same way I do.
That's good. Come on,
it's just a phone call. It's just business.
Yeah.
We can go to church together and give hugs and stuff like that, but I know now that you don't value these little things which make business click on the level it's supposed to click.
Yes, sir.
You are stopping favor. Because although I may like you, I cannot get in business with you. Because you have shown me that you don't care about things that you have to care about to be successful. I'll never forget Pastor Tim Delaney. I used to pastor in Detroit. I was young. I was about 25 years old. And I lived in Flint. And he lived here in Detroit. He pastored Tabernacle Church in Highland Park or something, right? And I heard him preach at this thing. Me and the guy named Marcus Cole went to this thing in Ipsy. And I heard him preach. I said, this guy is profound. I'm a young kid, and I'm just watching him preach. I went up to him after service. I said, man, I got to get some time with you. And so he said, all right. Well, he calls me that week. He says, let's meet halfway in Pontiac area. He said, we'll grab some lunch. But he says, be there at 1, and, I'll give you an hour. Well, to be honest, I got up late. I got up at about 11:30. By the time I got around and got whatever I was doing, I didn't even walk out the door till 12:30, and I was 45 minutes from where I was. Then there's a traffic jam on 75. Well, I was already going to be 15 minutes late if there was nobody in the world on the road. Well, I get there. I am literally at 45 minutes late because of this traffic jam. I get there. He sits there. We get to talking. We're right in the middle. I'm like, I'm just now getting warm. And I'm like, man, God, that was blah, blah, blah. He said, well, it's a blessing, man. He said, I love you, man. 15 minutes, he gets up, pays for my tab. I said, where are you going? He said, man, I told you I had an hour. I can't make myself late because you was late. Yo, I was mad. How dare you be a man of honor? Like, what are you talking about? I was mad, and I would never forget. He said, listen, man, what God wants to do with you is going to require you being on time. I will never forget that. How many times you've heard me tell that story a lot? But it did something to me, because people that don't value time do not value their future. You don't. And then got the nerve to get mad at God talking about, well, he's late. You got to value time. By the way, church starts at 7. Which means you should probably be getting ready around 5. 5:30, getting them clothes ironed. Hey, hallelujah. Get that worship in your spirit so you ain't funky when you come in. Yes, come on, somebody. Yes, come in to love somebody. You're not just here to receive. You're here to give. Hallelujah. There's somebody in here that's not as mature as you, that don't know God like you, and they don't need you to be funky when you get here. They need you to be loving, and that hug may change their whole worldview. Give yourself time to get over whatever happened today.
Come on, Pastor Gale.
Don't give God the leftovers.
Yes, sir. That's good.
I'm trying. Y'all mad at me?
Uh-uh.
All right. Well, I'm not preaching good enough yet then. I'm going to get you mad. Just real quick, come on, say favor's relational. Look at, what is the first command of Scripture? To be fruitful and multiply. How can you do that by yourself? How can you fulfill that command that God gave you to be fruitful and multiply by yourself? You have to be relational. You need more than you to do it. What am I saying? The command that God has spoken over your life, you're going to need somebody. And if you do not know how to do relationships and be humble enough to admit, I'm immature in this area, but it's time to grow, you're not ready for favor. This isn't a message to beat you up about all of the deficiencies you have. It's a message to beat you up so you can wake up and become better. I am trying to beat you up, but it's your flesh. Be better. You may be dope at what you do, but if you do not do relationships right, that don't matter. There's people that's better doing what you do than you are. Why are they successful? They do relationships right. I'm not going to keep going to a restaurant. I don't care how good the food is. If the service is terrible, I'm not going to keep giving you my money. I will go to an ordinary Coney Island. I don't have to have the L. Georges that I like. If the service is terrible, I'm not going to keep going there. It's a privilege for me to be a customer to you. Amen, somebody. It's all right. Matthew 13. Can I have 5 minutes? Can I really have 5 minutes? I know they're going to say yes. Matthew 13. Watch this. Watch this. I'm going to give you a second principle that attracts favor. Now, y'all ready for this? Watch this. Let's read, Pastor Tim. This is a biggie. This right here may be the biggest principle that attracts favor.
When Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. He came to his hometown and began teaching them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own..."
A prophet is not without honor, look, except in his hometown and in his own household. Do you check? See that? Let's read. All right? So this is really important. And then look at verse 58. It says, "And he did not many miracles there because of their unbelief." I want you to, so all of the power that God has to change the course of somebody's life was based on not what was in his ability, but what was in their heart. Now, this is hard for me to teach, but I'm going to teach this for a second. There's something that we miss. We've always taught this from the side of the unbelief. Well, it's unbelief to stop the miracles. It wasn't unbelief to stop the miracles. Unbelief was the byproduct of him saying a prophet is without honor in his hometown. What is the principle that attracts favor? Is honor. When you learn how to honor people, what is honor though? Honor is the ability to discern the difference that God put on an individual's life. This concept that all men are created equal is not in the Bible. We are not all created equal. There is things that I could do much better than you will ever be able to do them. There is things you could do much better than I will ever be able to do them. We're not created equal. I will never be able to jump up and dunk a basketball. We're not created equal. I will never be able to do some of the things that other people did. Their attributes, their physical side, everything about them. We're not created equal. There is genius in certain people. And it don't matter how much you study, you will never be able to accomplish the things they are psychologically accomplishing. Elon Musk is a genius. The stuff he's thinking about, most of us have never even, it's never going to come across our mind. There is geniuses in this world. Think about the stuff that you see. If you would go back in the primitive age and you was to see lights and electricity and the internet and the fact that there is wavelengths going across, all the stuff that we're living today that we're used to, there was people that thought about this stuff when nobody was thinking about this stuff. We're not created equal. God has put distinctions and diversity of gift in the body, and it has scattered it. Now, what allows you to tap into a season of favor is learning how to distinguish those gifts. When you come, I'll give you a good example. I can only talk about me. My gift is revelation. It comes very easy to me. I've had pastors call me and say, "Man, how did you pull that out? I've never seen that like that." And I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. It's just my DNA. I can see it. Tila will call me. We'll get to talking for 25 hours and a half. And we'll start talking, and just stuff will come. I mean, she called me the other day. "What would you say? You got a word for me or something? What's God saying?" I didn't have anything until she called me. And then I was like, well, it just started flying. I wasn't even in the mood to talk, Teely. You caught me at a terrible time. And it just started flying. You know, Shawnee just told me off a good one, too. I was like, "Hello?" You ever say hello to somebody nicely, but you're looking at the person you're talking to, and like, "Hello?" She's like, "God said you got a word." I was like, "Oh, I got some words." But it came naturally. Why? That's my gift. You may never have that. And so if you want to know what God is saying over your life, when you get in my presence, do not just take me as that's G. I'm not just G. I am a gift to your life that give you a word from God. You will only get from me what you honor me with. Your honor creates access for you to receive from the person and the distinction that God has created them to be. You understand? It is very important that you honor people. I put some things down for honor, and I promise you I'm wrapping this up. Y'all getting this tonight, though? Just put honor creates favor. See, these people, Jesus could not do many miracles in that town because they didn't honor him. And I put this down if you're taking notes. We've been asking for miracles without honor in our hearts. You've been asking for miracles. Some of you have a lack of honor, and it is stopping the plan of God for your life. You are literally not in a position to receive. When you are with people, there's a scripture in Proverbs that said, if you're a man given to appetite and you're invited to a table to eat, in other words, it said, take a knife, right? Right, put it to your throat. Why? What is? He's not literally telling you to kill yourself. He's telling you that when you're sitting in the presence of greatness, first of all, honor recognizes greatness. It doesn't pretend like you're on the same level because you're not on the same level as everybody. There's people that I sit at the table with, I have to recognize these people know a whole lot more than I know. And I need to quit talking. This isn't where you talk. This is where you listen. Why? Because they know more than you know. And God put you here. Your gift makes room for you to listen. I'm going to add that to it. Your gift puts you in the room, so that means you're somebody, and God wants you to get this. He's trying to equip you, but you're going to need a season to zip it right here so that you can receive it. Honor recognizes when you're supposed to be quiet. If you're sitting at the table and you're with men that are great, you need to quit talking so much. You're not on their level. You ask them out to eat. You need them more than they need you. And that's not pride saying it. That is truth. Amen. So everybody say, honor creates favor. Y'all receive that? Honor isn't people worshiping. That's not what honor is. It doesn't mean you're worshiping the person. Honor is discerning the gift that God put on that person. And honor does not puff up. Honor actually puts that person in debt to you. Learn to honor people. Those of you that's frustrated because you ain't getting a promotion at your job, I dare you to find out when their birthday is and be a blessing to them and say, listen, I've been working for you for this many, and I just want to tell you, man, I've been praying for you. I know it's hard to be in a position of authority. I just want to bless you. Happy birthday, sir. Honor them and watch how the next promotion that comes up, they conveniently hear your name. Why? Because it created favor. People don't forget moments when they're honored. We can criticize people in authority over us, but you don't know what they're having to deal with. Everybody say, well, Pastor Gail, Pastor Gail, you guys don't know what it's like to pastor people. To have to have the phone going off the hook all day, every day, trying to help people. When you call and we give you attention, it could be very, you know, it might be very easy to think that that was the only issue we had to deal with that day, but we just got off the phone dealing with another issue just right before that, and while we're trying to figure that out, now you come into play. It's hard, so when we miss something or we make a mistake or we do something that you can take it personal, not knowing what we have to balance, what's on our shoulders. So coming to us with honor means something. You receive from what you honor. I know this is different word tonight, man, but this is going to help us. Honor, honor, honor. You do not have to like somebody that you honor. You don't even have to like them, but you better learn to honor them. You better learn to honor them. Amen. Honor is a culture of the kingdom. Amen, somebody? Honor creates favor, but dishonor closes doors. That's it. Learning to honor people will create space for favor in your life. My wife is a good, you know, it's amazing what she does for a living. Is amazing. Shawnee's, what she's making, what she's receiving income-wise, is what people that have to go to school gets. And she has no schooling in this. It's all on-the-job training. What got her here is honor. I've been with her for over 2 decades now, and I remember all the stories when she worked at the Embassy Suites and how all of her bosses, I met all her bosses, you know, they used to come up, so you're the guy, you know, when we first started dating. They don't want to know who I was, and you know, because they loved her so much. Well, it's because of the way she conducts herself at work. Not only is she on time, not only does she show up to work, not only is she professional. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. And what it did is it created honor. And when they wanted to promote, rather than go and find somebody with a degree, they would spend that money and invest in somebody that had all the characteristics that they wanted and give her the training. And now she's making the money without all of the student loans. Why? What's the difference between her and everybody else? Favor and honor. She honored you. You don't just honor Christians. You don't honor Christians. You can find something to honor in anybody, man. In anybody. Honor them. They will not forget it. Why? Because honor builds their identity. It doesn't build their pride. It builds their identity. It will create favor for you. I want you to be successful. Why? Because what God is doing at VC, I need the resources. I'm trying to help the city of Detroit in a way it's never been helped. I'm trying to buy buildings and buy real estate and put Christian businesses in there and show Detroit what the kingdom looks like in the marketplace. I want to go into terrible neighborhoods that we can't get any money from the city and flip the whole neighborhoods and help people live a life that is better than what they're living and show them how the heart of God looks when it's manifested in the natural realm. The stuff, we want to open boys' homes and girls' homes and schools and all this stuff. I got a huge vision. So I need you to tap into favor. Why? Because God's going to use the resources through you. Now, not only bless you, but bless the plans that he has for the house. Amen, somebody. This ain't about Shawnee and I driving Benzes and Jags and all that stuff. We don't even care about this stuff. I'm out there driving a 2012 paid off Buick Enclave. It's got a dent in the right side that I'm trying to get out tomorrow. Will, I need you. I honor you, Will. I honor your ability to help me when I'm got dents. But it's not about that. It's about getting in position for the blessings of God. Can you stand with me? Y'all receive this? Favor is relational. Favor is honorable. So I want you to try that here. I want you to try that. I want you to try. I mean, even in John 3, Pastor Tim. John 3, Nicodemus shows up and he says, Rabbi, we know you to be a teacher. He didn't even ask Jesus. The dialogue went about the kingdom, right? But Nicodemus, go back and read it. He never asked Jesus a question. Jesus just started talking. Why? Because he was honored. Because the man showed up and said, you're a rabbi, which means you are a teacher. Jesus started teaching because the way he approached him was honorable. He got everything Jesus, all the wisdom Jesus wanted to give him, simply because he approached it in honor. It's a tragedy to be in the presence of somebody that's got all the answers you need for your life and you get none of them because you stand in dishonor. Amen. Say, God, give me the spirit of discernment to know the difference and the distinction that you have put on people's lives. Whew. Thank you, Father. Right now, I just ask, God, that this word finds good ground. I ask, Lord, that this word becomes practical to help people. Help people. You are wanting to bless people. You're wanting to bless us in ways that would blow our mind, Father. And I'm just praying right now that this word is empowering to us tonight. It is empowering to us tonight. Matter of fact, just lift your hands and just say, this will be a season of favor. Come on, declare it like you mean it. This is my season of favor. So, Father, I bless them tonight, and I thank you for the word, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit that has taught tonight, God. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.